Oh, what up? It's Scott Brennan here.
And Mike.
And Mike, yeah, the other guy. It's Scott Brennan, the other guy here for the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Listen, we love to do this podcast. So real quick, someone's calling you.
Hi, Eric Cash.
Yeah, hi. We're going to do the ads real quick in the podcast to make it possible. Listen, we have some great sponsors. We have amazing sponsors. One of them is Demented Brewing.
Oh,
Demented Brewing
fabulous.
In Middlesex, New Jersey is one of the coolest breweries. It actually, if you would look at the place, it doesn't look like they've been open for a year. It looks like they've been established for years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome. They have an amazing tap room with 16 tap handles. Sometimes they have 16 beers pouring, so there's always something
and
to
they're
try.
They're all great, man.
Every Sunday, they release a new one. They have a barrel program. They have a sour program. They just released Greed, which is an oatmeal stout, and Bottles of Nightmare, their Belgian strong ale, aged in brandy barrels this
Amazing.
Sunday. And then this Sunday, they're going to release Hansel and Gretel, a gingerbread-inspired winter warmer.
Oh, that's really
for
cute.
For Christmas, Hansel and Gretel. I mean, like, come on. You got to go give Demented some love.
It's so
you
cheerful with the mural of all the devils on it.
Yeah. So you got to give Demented some love. So go like them. Go check them out at DementedBrewing.com. Obi's here. He always is. He always is when there's important things going down.
Exactly.
Another brewery that sponsors this podcast is Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Hackettstown becoming like the brew capital of the world. There's three breweries there. You could do a little brew tour. But Manskirt Brewing, seasonally inspired ales. They always get something fresh on tap. Go visit Joe in his skirt, which you'll figure out when you get there.
He's always cheerful. He always welcomes people in. It's always a crowd there.
Yep.
Great place to hang out.
They're starting to add like artwork on the wall. It's just a cool place in the old bank building on Main Street. But listen,
they have something cool on the wall. An octopus.
Yep. Yeah, your imaginary friend. They have some cool stuff going on. They just put their barley wine back on tap. Mm. And they also are brewing their popular Pfeiffer Bock, which is a German lager made with rye and peppercorns. Now, they are expanding their tap room. They're adding four more taps, so there's going to be eight beers on tap all the time.
Awesome.
What's even cooler, this is the best. They have a special deal going for $99. It includes one ticket to the New Jersey Devils, the best hockey team in the entire NHL, versus the Ottawa Senators on February 16th, where you can get bus transportation to and from the game. You get food from the corner pub. You get beer from Manskirt, Zigmeister, and Jersey Girl, and Homebrew University, and an on-ice photo on the game, on the fucking ice.
Oh, that's freaking nice, man.
I mean, it's awesome.
What else can you ask for?
$100, they're back. You're going to spend $100 going there back anyway.
Yeah, just on one ticket.
And you get the beer, you get the food. It's just a great deal. Go to Manskirt Brewing, give them a like, give them a tweet, give them something, say you, Verbal Shenanigans sent you, do whatever. But go try their beer.
Yeah, you don't get anything by mentioning us.
No, you don't. You actually get money added towards your beer.
Yeah. But, he spits in your beer when you say Verbal Shenanigans. Yeah. It's a weird concept.
All right, Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F Nation. Wolf Nation! Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free.
Is it Wolf Nation?
Wolf Nation. It is an apparel company for women, men, children, dogs, grandmas, athletes, girlfriends, boyfriends. It is amazing. They are going to be doing a whole bunch of releases in 2017. A lot of things coming up. Give them a little like on Facebook and Instagram. But anyway, it stands for Wake Up, Live Free. Wake up, live free. Tired of being put down. Tired of living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf Nation. Wolfing it, bro. You're wolfing it.
Okay, I will do that.
Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. I host every Wednesday at Tap House 15. You can come down, which is where we do the comedy shows. You can win prizes to breweries. You can win prizes to the actual restaurant. It's just a great time.
Fun night out, tons of questions. You bring a bunch of friends, have a huge team.
Yep,
it's a great night out.
And you could hear a Verbal Shenanigans question every once in a while.
They can learn about us, Scotty.
Yeah, but Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Today in the podcast, we just talk about a bunch of BS. We talk about Mike's imaginary friends. We talk about some shows that have gone on recently. And most importantly, we talk to AJ Mattioli, one of our favorite guests on the podcast. So enjoy.
Here it comes.
The podcast.
Hey, this is Captain Wild Bill, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Couple of clowns.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah. I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really. Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, participation trophy. The next guy that says shenanigans.
Joe Fernandez is like the participation trophy of life.
Of life, yeah. God's like, here you go, Joe. Another brownie for living.
Yeah, here you go, guys. Here's Joe Fernandez. But I'm jumping right into it, Berlo. I'm not even asking.
Oh, man.
I'm not even asking you when to start or if you're ready or whatever because.
Well, once Don McNano accidentally hit the wrong button, he's like, where am I in the podcast?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the welcome.
It's always the welcomes are the most awkward part to begin with. So, welcome back, buddy. It's been like a week and a half, so not too big of a layoff.
No.
But we are back here on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, episode 129, I believe.
Ooh.
We're slowly approaching 150. Which is amazing if you think back that 50th episode that we did, like, our whole little celebration for, which was the first episode we ever got, like, 100 listens or something like that.
Sadly, we're shooting for 100 again.
Yeah. It's okay.
We'll get there.
I decided not to worry about the numbers. I worry about the content here, bro.
Quality.
We got episodes with 22,000, 3,000 listeners, so it's okay. It's okay, people. We're strapped in. We're ready to go.
As we used to hear in our old podcast, the numbers are great. They're amazing. They love our numbers.
Mm-hmm. We love our numbers, too. We love our fans. We love our sponsors. Berlo, it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
It's amazing when right after Thanksgiving, it just turns into Christmas all of a sudden. Have you started your show? Shut up. You already had, like, 9 meals. You started your whole Christmas thing. You got your apartment's Christmas stuff. We talked about that last time. Your photos. I still haven't seen them yet.
They are coming in tomorrow.
Yes. Can we please send one to all our listeners?
Send to every listener.
A signed one. Happy holidays.
Randy Santel's like, what the hell?
What the fuck? I'm never going back on that thing.
I can't eat now.
I was going to win this challenge. It's never been...
4.5 pounds and I lost my appetite. He's doing a little West Coast tour for the holidays.
Do you get in like a Christmas spirit? You getting like,
as it's getting closer, I get into the Christmas spirit. Yeah. I am not... as I kind of explained before, my mom overdosed kind of Christmas stuff. So, in fact... me and Izzy kind of had a fight on Black Friday day because
you had a fight on the Black Friday day.
Yeah.
Which
That's is what, known as Black Friday.
Friday day. I had a fight on the Black Friday day.
It was a Friday day.
All right, so you had a fight about what?
Yeah, so. You know, this is our first Christmas together, and
first Christmas, I dressed like a dog.
The very next day,
you gave me away. All right.
So we got a good amount of decorations done on that Black Friday, and there was like still some small stuff left. So actually, we started on Black Friday. The fight happened the next day. Where I was like, okay, what do we have to do? And she's like, oh, we really got nothing much to do. And I was kind of discussing stuff. And one of the things I mentioned I was, as we're planning to do sometime this month, is the Shenanigans Showdown with the Smirnoff Ice.
Yes.
And kicking the field goal. So I brought up, oh, okay. You know, maybe I'll contact Scott, see if he's around. Maybe we'll do that today, blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, we got a lot of stuff, so we'll see. And then I'm kind of like, okay, you just said we have nothing to do. And she's like, well, you know, we got stuff. We got the decorations to do. And it kind of got into a back and forth, and we got back to the apartment, and it got a little escalated back and forth. She was getting really upset with me, And at one point, I screamed. She told me that I'm ruining Christmas. And I yelled at her, for God's sakes, Christmas is 29 days away. Not every day is cheery. Not every day is fa-la-la-la-la.
That is straight up a line from, like, if you guys were having, like, this romantic comedy, like, where, mm-hmm. like, you're like the guy that she's pursuing, but you're just not into Christmas. And you're like, for God's sake!
Yeah, the Hallmark movie.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, you know.
On December 24th, I get the really, oh, my God, you got the tree I wanted.
You get the spirit, like, you're down in the dumps, you hate work, and something happens that day, and you, like, help a little kid or something in the Christmas spirit.
A dead friend shows up as a ghost and tells me about the good old days. Mm-hmm. What happened to you, Burloo? Yeah. You weren't always like this.
Yes, I will. And then you go back, and your mom's playing the Christmas song, and you're, like, participating with your imaginary friends. And
Ollie the Octopus, he was there.
Good old Ollie.
He was putting up tinsel, you know. He'd get caught up in the tinsel.
He was great at the tinsel, though, with those eight. Yeah. He could tinsel the shit out of a place real quick.
My dad never had to worry about lights. Don't worry, Dad. The octopus got this.
Ollie got this. Ollie got and your dad's
Ollie,
like,
throw it up.
Meanwhile, your dad's, like, signing adoption papers, like...
Yes, son, yes, I believe you.
Ollie the Octopus. Right. Enjoy next Christmas with your new family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got adopted by a black family again.
I this is the first Christmas in a while, and I feel a little... I always like giving gifts. Like, I always like giving gifts. I feel like I think about gifts for a while. So I'm feeling a little bit in the spirit. Of course, I'm feeling in the spirit. And I just got, like, a check the other day. I'm like, okay, I'm finally taking steps forward. You know, like, you know, things are looking okay. Finally turning around in my life. And then the dog. So...
you talking about me, Daddy?
No, stop it.
Oh, I thought that was my cue.
So, no. You never have a cue. There's never a cue to do that. There's never a cue.
Well, that's why I'm always ready.
Who gives you the cue? The dog in your brain? Like, what? Did he have a name, too?
I just always sit here, say Obi, Scott. Say Obi, say Obi.
Come on. So
you fall. Oh, my knee. Yes, Daddy.
So the last... I'm not even acknowledging you. The last, so I take him for hikes a lot with Joe.
Yeah.
In
the corgis.
Yeah, the corgi family. you should totally send out a Christmas card like "Merry Christmas from the corgis." Like,
the wife is just there with her head down in shame, and all. He's like in a full pajama corgi outfit.
So, I've been noticing, like, after he comes back from the walks, he'll fall asleep like he always does. Mm-hmm. And then you get up and he'd be kind of, like, walking kind of sideways. I'm like, oh, he's sore from the walk.
Yeah.
And the other day I removed more than a month ago, I removed a bunch of ticks off of him. He's had a few here and there. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you can't avoid it up in northwest Jersey. They're pretty much just everywhere. And the other day, so Sunday comes, or Monday comes, and he gets off the couch, and he can barely even walk. Like, his front paw is, like he can't put any weight on it. He doesn't want me to touch him. I'm like, like, I guess we got to go to the vet. And I'm always, like, not a panic. Like, let's run to the vet kind of guy. Yeah. Like, let's try to wait this out. But he couldn't
let's
even...
Let's give him another hour. Maybe he'll figure out the walking thing.
He couldn't... He was... I was like... I had this feeling for a while that... that it might be something tick related because of, like, I know, like, it's stiff joints and, like, lameness is a symptom.
Yeah.
So, which is, I still think you have lameness, so you might have.
It'd be great if you went to the vet. Yeah, a car ran him over. I think it's tick related.
Yeah.
I think a tick was driving the car at the time.
So I take him, and I actually do love my vet. He's helped me a few times, like, he doesn't go right for the crazy financial stuff. No matter what, it's always going to be expensive. Just pet everything is expensive. Yep. And we go, and, like, he's, like, explaining what he's checking out, and I tell him, like, I go hiking a lot. And he's got these things, like, okay. And they do, which is funny, they take the blood work from the dog, and they test it right there. Meanwhile, you get blood work as a human. They got to send it to the lab. It's a week and a half. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, they literally, it was eight, like, 15 minutes, they come back. He's like, yeah, he's got anaplasmosis, or it's not Lyme disease, it's something else transferred by ticks. So I'm like, great. He's like, yeah, the symptoms are like lameness, like stiff joints, and so he's like, you know, like antibiotics usually knock it out. It might flare up every once in a while, but usually antibiotics and these like joint relaxer kind of things. And as I'm hearing that, I'm hearing like just dollar signs, like just
did his eyeballs turn into big dollar signs?
Money, checking out. But I'm like, okay, blood work, three medications right there. I know it's $200, $250 right there, and then plus the vet bill. So $400 later, well, he's now on a bunch of antibiotics, which reminds me I gotta give them to him, but. He's doing all right. He's back to himself. But it's funny. It's like the day up, then I come back from work, and that day he's like walking around like normal. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I made this appointment. I'll take
Hey, daddy.
But he did say, don't like, good now. Sometimes people let it go, and then it sets in their kidneys and liver, and they start to shut down, and then there becomes a big problem, like where they got to do all sorts of shit. So, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Obi, for your gift.
Yeah. Give Alex the bandage from Obi's foot, and yeah, this was going to be a jet ski.
No, this was our next vacation. But, everything pet related is so expensive, and they got you by the balls. What are you going to do? Say no?
Oh, exactly. The second you say I got to put him down, and everybody's like, well, he's got a chance. Maybe you can do blah blah blah.
Yeah. I know. I think Joe has pet insurance. He's the only guy I know. It's probably for him and the Corgi family.
Hi, Veterinarian Johnson. I'm sick again.
But it's
you know us Corgis.
You know us Corgis. We get sick on Fridays.
You know, we eat brownies. We wake up. We feel a little ill. Yeah. We go to the vet.
So that was not fun, regardless. But other than that, over the weekend, Friday, I did a show at Scotty's Comedy Co. I haven't been there in a long time.
The Watson Show reunion.
Yeah. I probably haven't been there in a year and a half, probably. At least a year. At least a year it's been.
Something like that when I went there the one time.
Yeah, so I had a guest spot. It was me, Alex Botch, Chip Ambrosia, and Johnny Watson. And the crowd comes in. I'm like, oh, there's a pretty good crowd. Oops. And a pretty good crowd. And I'm like, okay. So Alex goes up. Sorry, Alex, if I know you're listening, but you bombed. Okay. You ate your balls.
It happens.
Of course it happens. Totally happens. And the crowd's just not giving anything. Like, there's like, you could hear like moving cups and shit. Like
people were saying, I'm thinking about dessert.
Mm hmm.
And
so then I go up. I'm like, personally, I feel good. Like, I feel like the jokes were delivered well. Like, I even listened back to my set because I always record my set. And, like, all the jokes were delivered basically the way I would deliver them on a hot crowd, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I got, if it was a 10 rating, like 1 through 10, I probably got a 3.
Okay.
You know, 3.5 maybe. Couple. And, like, smiles, you know? But all the laughs, like, hee hee. Like, no one wanted to go on a journey. Like, I was doing the divorce material.
That was a good joke.
Doing divorce material. Like, they would laugh at one thing and then just kind of be like, oh. Like, they were, like, offended by it. I'm like, really? Like, really?
Yeah.
So that, then Chip Ambrosia goes up.
Veteran for what, like 20, 25 years?
Rose for the Friars Club and stuff like that. Bombs. He comes off. He's like, oh, that was a tough one. Like, that was they were hard. I'm like, yeah. They were. And listen, bombing as a guest spot is like, whatever. I'm doing when you're doing 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, and then headlining, like, Watson goes up, and we've seen him do comedy 100 times. And
easily.
He was struggling too, man. It was like, I'd never seen a crowd, like, so unwilling to, like, usually, like, one comic will bomb, two comics will bomb, but they're like,
somebody will get him.
No one got him. No one could figure out the magic formula. To do it. So that was kind of like a kick in the balls. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I ain't going to be back in that place anytime soon. But then Sunday was the Table 42 show, which
success.
It was fucking great. Yeah. Like, the crowd was awesome. Mm-hmm. Every comic did super well. And then, like, you know, Mike goes up. Mike Gaffney goes up and just murders. Like, that guy's murders sometimes so hard that I'm like, I just want to quit. Like, I'm not going to get
that. That's not fair.
His mannerisms and his stuff when he's not even telling jokes. Like, just his mannerisms and his acting is like, fuck. Like, and he's just like a man's man. And I think that's what he's so, like, you know, enduring to people who watch him. Like, but it's just another great show. And it's like, I hope we can keep doing shows there. But
yeah, I mean, it was an awesome turnout. The legendary Chips Cooney, former guest on the show, he did very well. Or the lovely Jackie Byrne always kicks it up a notch. And kind of like what you're saying about Gaffney, man. I mean, even the parts we talked about after the show where somebody was, like, talking, and he's like, listen.
The way he dealt with that.
I've been doing it for, like, 15 years. Roughly 3,000 shows. I think I have an idea of how comedy shows work. Just stay with me here for a moment. Most shows, the people shut up.
Yeah. but then he's like, not in Dover. We're hardcore. We talk during the show. Like, he just, the way he deals with crowds and can kind of work with anything is like, he's a good guy. So I'm like, but it's funny, like, for the Verbal Shenanigans brand, whatever this is kind of turning into, it's been a good month. Like, you gave me the card for the winery.
We're doing a private show there.
Brook Hollow Winery.
Brook Hollow Winery up in Columbia, New Jersey.
Yeah, so real quick turnaround. I called him. He's like, yeah, okay, we'll talk. And then he, like, calls me back. He's like, I have a private party that wanted some kind of entertainment. And I, like, sent him a pretty cheap price just to get in the door and try to do a show. And he's like, yeah. So me, you, Jackie, and Joe Fernandez are going to be going up on Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah, and then the Dover Fireman is in February, and that's like a 300-person fundraiser with Joe and Mike as the headliner. So if they don't like Mike, there's something wrong with
him. Yeah.
Like, that guy kills me, man. He kills me. But, yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of things going on in this little podcast here.
Yeah. A lot of people dying today, too.
Who died today?
John Glenn.
Oh.
One of the first original astronauts.
Yeah.
He died at 93 years old. He just celebrated his 73rd wedding anniversary.
Mm.
And the dude went back into space at, like, 77, I think he was the age. You know, I can't imagine doing that.
Burlew in space.
I smell movie. Michael Burlew is a weird person. But what happens when he accidentally goes into space?
Cinema snob, if you're listening, this is the B movie you need to do. Burlew in space.
What does this button do? No!
That's pretty much how this podcast goes, too.
Hey, Peyton, Omaha.
So, anybody else die?
On this, you know, anniversary-wise, Dimebag Dave from Pantera, he was murdered.
You mean Dimebag Daryl.
Sorry.
But Dimebag Dave, you know a lot about.
Yeah.
In fact,
He was the backup.
Yeah, I heard even that. No, I actually heard, I mean, you know more than I would, but I looked on Wikipedia that Dimebag Dave was the original guitarist in Pantera. But then things happened. Maybe you should enlighten us on what happened to Dimebag Dave and not Dimebag Daryl.
Well, what happened was Dave just, he was getting off the sauce, for lack of a better term. I mean, back in the day, Pantera just, like, was severely into the hardcore rock and the drinking and the drug scene. And, you know, he started to find God, Dimebag Dave.
Really?
He's like, so he tried to kind of loosen things up, you know. He would go up there on stage. He wouldn't even, like, perform any kind of bass work. He would actually just, like, read from the Bible during the concert.
He would read from the Bible during a Pantera concert.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, there would be, like, the break where there was a nice, like, guitar riff, and he'd be, like, reading from Job.
So, like, the shows would be like, dun, 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 dun. He'd be like, God, what do you say? Okay, all right, so Dimebag Dave.
Yeah, I mean, and now, then their fifth album just bombed and all, with him just talk about scripture and the Book of Mormon and
now,
stuff
now,
like that.
Now, how did it, you told me before, like before the podcast, before we went live on the air.
Obviously, we talk a lot.
That he, that Dimebag Dave, that his name Dimebag, how did he actually got the name Dimebag? How did that come about?
Well, it's a real interesting story. What happened?
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I'm 100% sure it's interesting.
Yeah, what happened was he was very poor growing up, and you know he'd have to go do laundry. They didn't have any kind of washer or dryer in the house.
Definitely not.
So he would show up at the local laundromat. But he didn't have enough money to, like, make quarters, so he'd be, like, showing up there trying to dink dimes into the washer. And, like, the...
Now, when you dink dimes, what do you mean by dinking dimes?
Well, you know, you try to, like, manipulate the dime so it kind of, the system thinks it's a quarter, you know? You pound it out, you know, you put a little ridges to the side.
Wait, so you're flattening dimes. That's what he was doing to make
them
quarters.
Which are pretty flat to begin with, so it's pretty hard of a task.
So you have to make the dime wider and bigger.
And you got to, you know, do the little ridges on the side. Like
very impressive that Dimebag Dave was thinking this much just to do his laundry.
Yeah. You figure he would just go out and get some quarters, but no, he figured he'd save 15 cents on every load.
Now, the problem is if he's using a lot of dimes and, like, messing up, he's probably spending more money than just getting quarters.
Yeah, that's what Pantera told him, and all that. They just laughed their ass off. You know what? You crazy, man. You're in
crazy.
The band.
You're crazy, Dimebag Dave.
Yeah.
Now, where did the bag part come from?
Well, he'd keep it in a big little Ziploc bag.
Oh, his dime bag. Yeah. He's got a bag of dimes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, sometimes the wealth of knowledge you have... which some people might assume that it's just like a slip up and that I'm like asking a question about.
Yeah.
But really, the knowledge you
I know
have
the history.
Is like that Bulgarian football team you told us about. Mm-hmm. The quicksand on the field.
Yeah,
it's
very
like,
dangerous game.
Yeah.
That's why they don't have a lot of professional teams.
It's just amazing what you know. You know, like
that's what I bring to the podcast.
I was gonna say there's a reason I brought you on. Like
Originally
I thought it was like your work with like social media and our conversation, but I really think it's your knowledge at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, eventually it came out. I don't like to be braggadocious about my knowledge, but you know, you keep pressing me, and I got to give you the truth.
You know, when I ask, you deliver.
Yep. Except for the tweeting and the Facebook stuff, like
yeah,
we originally
and any
about.
Content or you know, or fun
preparation
or friendship or.
I think I owe you like $20.
Anyway, thanks for being here, buddy.
I'm the co-host.
Yeah. We got a guest coming on. I'm going to pee real quick, and then we'll get her on. Him.
All right.
Him on.
Him.
All right, Mike Berlo. No surprise guest on the show tonight. But you went to A.J. Mattioli's Words documentary.
Yep. Up in New York City at Broadway Comedy Club. Good time. Good afternoon out there. Hell of a traffic going up to that tree afterwards, but that we can talk about it later.
Yeah. So we're going to get AJ on. It's been a while. If you've never tuned into the podcast, AJ is a frequent, the most frequent guest we have on because AJ is going through a transition from female to male, and he checks in with us from time to time, tells us how it's going. But also, I think with the way things are, I think it's definitely time to give AJ a call. There's been a lot of things going on. Hopefully, we'll talk a lot more than just transition stuff and the film. I think we're going to get into some things here. So, AJ Mattioli, AJ Mattioli.
Hello, you've reached Mattioli Productions.
Oh.
Thank you so much for calling us, but we're unable to pick up the phone right now. Please leave your name, your number, and the time you called, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much for your support, and stay proud.
At the tone, please record your message.
I will.
When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yeah, hi, this is Scott from the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We were just looking for AJ Mattioli, you know, like, we heard your voicemail, and that's the nicest you've ever sounded before. So if you could please give us a call back and we can continue the podcast and do an interview with you.
I have a movie idea about a lovable yet shy comedian that everybody will grow to love.
Yeah. By the way, we loved your film.
Yeah. Miss you at my birthday.
Yeah. Asshole. So, as is a Verbal Shenanigans tradition, our guest never answers on the first call.
Yeah.
But you went and saw the film. You went to the city. Was the city mayhem? Mayhem at Christmas time?
I mean, getting up there, it was all right. I mean, Broadway comedy's away from Times Square, so it was only like a 18-block walk from the train station, so that wasn't bad. About 45 people there, so it was a good crowd. Everybody was happy. AJ was really ecstatic with everybody showing up. But later on, when we went out, because the plan was we had to see the tree, because I'd never seen it like close up, that was an adventure because, unfortunately, the little lady would refuse to do a selfie for the tree. We had to find the perfect angle to get the pictures for the Christmas tree.
Okay.
So we had to try to walk around the tree with millions of people on every side of the tree.
What is going on?
Something went down at work. So
is she texting you about the tree?
<She's> like, don't you talk about the tree?
She's like, I think we gotta go back. I don't like it. It's not perfect.
Yeah, two of the three pictures were good. Not all of them.
No, you guys have a lot of photos. How often do you stop and ask someone to take a picture of you guys?
Anytime of anything, it's like, oh, that's nice. I pretty much know, okay, I gotta find the person I'm comfortable with saying, can you please?
So you're the asker.
It depends on the situation. Like, if if we're in a crowd, I'm usually the one that's like, all right, what's the one person I feel like? One, they'll not be give me that look of like, oh my God, you needed me to take you a picture. And two, also kind of have a look like, okay, you're not going to run away with my phone.
Funny how you've never asked me to take a picture of you guys, because I would definitely give you the business. Be like, really? You don't have enough pictures?
Yeah, that's kind of why we avoid you at all costs. That's why we go, hey, psst, Alex, come here.
Alex, get over here.
No, don't talk to Scott. Get over here.
No, he's going to make fun of us.
So we had to walk around, and eventually they had a service that takes pictures of you in front of a tree, which is like, it's probably about a good couple hundred feet from the tree. They had the opening. I think they were, it's some kind of business that works with the state to boost up revenue. So took some pictures, had to walk around the mall to find a place to buy the pictures.
Oh, what did they get you for a picture by the tree?
It actually wasn't tragic. For three pictures, it was one with a frame, it was $45. In the grand scheme of cost per picture, that isn't bad. Let's also keep in mind, it was $123 for the dog pictures.
So let's get this straight. So the holiday season is upon us. You spent $123 on dog photos, $45 on Christmas tree photos. So you are approximately
about 172.
Yeah.
Now the girl got the dog photos because it was, that was her request, but I got the Christmas photos.
Oh, okay.
So we're splitting up the fee.
Is there a third photo? Christmas is still 2 weeks away.
Well, the one that I love Chip Scooney to death, but when the girlfriend was like, oh, we can go see him on New Year's Eve in Broadway Comedy Club, I'm like, I can see Chips a lot of times, babe. It's That is one thing I do not want to do, because I'm sure she, with 2 million people there, let's forget a photo. Let's see if we can get an angle. Excuse me.
Can you get a photo with the ball?
Stop counting. I need you to take a picture. But the worst part was, like, when we came out on the street of Saks Avenue with their display with the lights.
Yeah.
And it took 20 minutes to go three blocks. Ugh. And it was...
I hate that whole area of the city.
agonizingly painful because everybody's pushing. Nobody gives a crap. There's parents there with strollers where you barely have a quarter of a foot to yourself, but they figure, yeah, let me get a wide range vehicle with four wheels to push people around in. So that was kind of a great moment. And then add to it, as we were trying to get through, the girl kind of twisted her leg, so she was in some pain and all, walking back to the train station.
So you're cramping, she's got leg pain.
Yeah, I was tired, I had a headache, she had a sprained ankle, my phone was dying. I'm like, where the hell is an outlet to charge my phone? I don't know, I'm sitting here. I can't go. When's the train? When's the train? It's at 7:11. Oh, we gotta be here for 45 minutes. I don't know how else we're gonna get home.
Yeah.
But the pictures came out nice.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. I'm so glad.
One is the girl's profile picture where her and me are staring at each other at the tree. That's actually the one I liked.
That's good, buddy. Let's see if AJ... So you got a bunch of pictures. I'm glad for you.
Hey, hey.
Hey, what the hell do you want?
What do you want from me? What?
You know, I'm done with your shit, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's doing?
What's going on, AJ? It's been a while now. It's probably been like, I'd say 3 months.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's been a minute.
You know what though? We've had some guests, some great guests through you. Actually, last week's episode, 2 weeks ago episode, turned out to be one of my probably all-time favorite guests was Tom Verney.
He's great. He really is just amazing.
He is a voice that needs to be... You know what I love about him? He's like a guy that like shatters like 10 different stereotypes because he's a male, he's gay, he's a police officer, you know? Like it's,
Italian.
And he's pro-cop, and he's like very like... You know, but he's so introspective about things that cops have done wrong. Like he shatters every like stereotype. That's what I love about him.
I tend to not talk that well about cops, and I always say bad cops, except for Tom Verney.
So when you're acting like a fool and getting demolished and like starting shit, you just call him to arrest you.
Yeah.
Like, man,
if you're gonna pepper spray me, Tom is the one to do it, okay?
Tom sprays it so nicely.
Yeah. He compliments me afterwards. It's so cool. He tells me my movie was great and he was thankful.
It's nice. He's like, I hope you can still film with this pepper spray in your eyes. It's nice.
He's like, honestly, you should probably film with the pepper spray in your eye.
It's true.
Yeah, so what's up, dude? What have you been up to?
You know, this movie Words, man, is people are loving my newest film. I'm like, you know, it's crazy. It's like it's definitely become a little bit of a whirlwind with different festivals that are calling me, and you know, it's kind of, I like to call myself the accidental advocate. I just like making films, and people are like, your advocacy work is amazing. And I'm like, oh, is that what I'm doing? Okay. Advocacy work. Okay. But people are loving it. So that's kind of been what's really been keeping me busy for the last couple of months, has been just finishing up this film and getting it out there. And people are really responding, which is really nice.
Real quick, if people, like a lot of people will listen, tons of people, like millions maybe will listen for the first time today, just give a brief synopsis of the film. We've talked about it before, and Mike actually went and met you on Saturday, but
his face is even doofier than on Facebook, like
the
worst. In real life.
Yeah, I tried to take the doofy down, it just never works.
Yeah, doofy down.
Yeah.
Doofy down.
Scott, is it down? No, Burlew. Damn it!
You know what, Burlo? It's okay. I'm on your side. Yeah. At least I showed up to your birthday party.
Fair point.
Yes! Scott won. AJ, none.
You got one in. It's pretty much Words is a documentary. It's an exploration of identity within the ever-changing landscape of New York City. So, the documentary Words has been called you know, a love note to New York City, which it wasn't really my intention, but I do love New York City, and I can definitely see how my view of the city is shown through the camera work, which is great.
Yeah, I got a definitely question on that in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then it's pretty much just interviews a lot of LGBT people and straight people within New York City, and we talk about how they identify, what language they use to describe themselves, and how they kind of got past other people's opinions of them that have been thrown onto them, and how they became themselves through that.
Rain was in the film too, right? Mm-hmm. Rain Dove, that we had to do two interviews with, him and Corey Wade on the
podcast. Corey Wade was in it. David Ippolito was in it.
Yeah, so basically all the guys. Basically, Joanne, it was our podcast.
Joanne Filan, who's going to be on the next Verbal Shenanigans Tap House.
You know, I'm like, no one asked me about my identity.
Yeah.
Well, you're like a straight white guy.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We're the root of all evil.
Yeah, me and
I
Scott
get
would
it.
Be during the credits when the music's
I get
playing.
It. I am the white devil.
I mean, like, what am I going to talk to you about? Fraternity parties? I mean, come on.
Yeah, boozer.
If you were here and you were fully transitioned, I would punch you in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, it'd be wrong for the next 4 months. Next 4 months, don't do it, man. That'd be cold.
So like in 4 months, I'm gonna knock you.
In 4 months, I'm gonna knock you back into the feet.
AJ's gonna wake up from the hospital bed, and you're just gonna be on top of him punching the living crap out of him.
You ready? You ready?
Welcome to manhood, bitch.
Manhood sucks, doesn't it?
I think there's definitely a line of men that are just waiting to fucking knock me out. just waiting for it. See, remember that time you hit on my girlfriend? Knocked out.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a lot of points in there. One of them, I know this is kind of a little bit off topic, but you said a love note to New York City. I was just wondering if you happened to see Colin Quinn's latest special.
I have not. Is it very much focused on that?
Oh my God, it's fucking brilliant. It's brilliant. I think it's called The New York Story. I think that's the name of it. And I don't know if you're a fan of Colin Quinn, but
I'm a big fan of Colin
Quinn.
One
of the smartest, most like. The guy does one-man shows. He's got three of them now that are just absolutely brilliant. But it's all about growing up in the city and how it's changed so much. And if you're a comedian or a monologue kind of one-man performer, I highly recommend it. Colin Quinn's, I think it's called The New York Story. I just got to double-check.
Oh, well, definitely.
You have to
watch definitely it. Check it out. I'm a big fan of Colin Quinn, definitely, since, you know, he was – I can't remember the name of the show, though. He's
Tough Crowd.
The Daily Show. Yeah, it's Tough Crowd.
I still watch Tough Crowd because I get to see Patrice and I get to see Greg Giraldo and I get to see all those guys who were slayers every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah.
Just murderers.
I really enjoyed that year in comedy overall on Comedy Central was pretty amazing. Those few years when you had that show, you had, you know, it was like right after the Daily Show.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. It was a perfect lineup.
If you watch that show, that is the closest you'll ever get from what they all say is to the guys hanging at the Comedy Cellar up in the restaurant above at the Olive Branch, where all the comedians sit at a table and just kill each other. And you had Patrice and Norton and Judy Gold and every comic you can think of that is based out of New York City was on that show. I mean, then there was even episodes with Carlin and like they tapped into everything and it didn't matter. You had Dennis Leary go on and get destroyed by Nick DiPaolo and Patrice O'Neill. Like it did not matter if you had this big accredited name. It was basically like if your punchlines weren't like if they seemed like planned and stuff, they're like, you're an asshole. Like, and Colin Quinn is just brilliant. I guarantee they probably pressure him to bring that show back, but I don't think it'll ever be the same. Never be the same.
Yeah.
And especially Patrice O'Neill being dead.
Yeah.
You'll never find a more honest comic than him.
That's true. I forgot he passed away. That's true.
Oh, God. His fifth anniversary of being dead is this month.
Wow.
They're doing a benefit show again in New York. It's got Bill Burr. It's got a tail. It's like...
That's gonna be a nice show.
Wonder if I can get a guest spot.
Burr. It's a tell. It's Burr. It's Burr Lou.
Well, that would be my lead-in. Yeah.
But it's that's how you know a guy had an impact, because I listen to all those dudes' podcasts like as much as I can, and they all like the way they talk about Patrice is like he was just the biggest asshole, but the funniest, most honest guy in the room always. And if you ever wanted to sit at the table with him, you better bring your A game, like all the time.
That's amazing. I mean, must be a hell of a friend to have.
Go watch Patrice's Elephant in the Room. It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. It is a black man talking black man stuff and being the most brutally honest, like making fun of everyone equally. And that's he was just, I don't know. I know I get a little on a tangent with some of these comics, but he's...
No, but that's who you look up to. That's who that's important. You shouldn't talk that way about comics.
Patrice O'Neill. It's like, I love comics that don't pander to any audience. You know, whether you agree with them or not, it's just at least they're sticking to exactly who they are on and off the stage. Like, those are the best comics.
100%.
But
well, hopefully you guys will be at that level someday.
Someday, please. You know what I did this weekend? I performed in front of 24 people. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it was like 19. Some went to the bathroom, but eventually got to 24 around halfway.
When everyone emptied their bladder, it was 24.
Yeah,
it was 24.
If you count the other comics that were performing, then there was at least 22 people there.
Plus the waitresses. Uh-huh. Plus the waitresses. Yeah.
We saw a waitress chuckle at one of Scott's jokes, so it was pretty amazing.
That counts. That's an audience member. She's
I am getting there. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's so fucking hard, Scott, though. It really is so hard. It's like there's so much to do in New York City. It's like, I love it because there's so much to do. And it's like any time of the day I could be like, oh, I want to see a comedy show and I can go. Or I can be like, I want to see a cabaret and I can go. But, like, the other thing is, because there's so much to do when you actually hold your own event, it's next to impossible to get an audience. It's just, you're saturated with entertainment in New York City, so when you throw an event, you're like, shit, I gotta itch my mom to come.
Is there anything worse than selling tickets? There might not be anything that bothers me more than selling tickets.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's
because
like,
all you want is to do your thing. And maybe make a few bucks, but really you just want a packed house every time you do something.
Yeah.
See, what I would do is I would name my comedy show Hamilton and just watch people storm in.
Oh, I love your audience would be 100% foreign. They'd be like, oh, I'm here for Hamilton, $30 ticket.
Kind of a small room for Hamilton, but okay.
This is not what I thought Hamilton was.
Why does Hamilton talk about penis jokes? I don't get it.
All these guys trying to smoke in the crowd, like thinking it's okay, and definitely speedos and shorts, and definitely families of Asian people. And that's definitely
they'll
what
still
happened.
Take pictures of me at the end of the show. And Hamilton!
Oh, Hamilton! Josh Hamilton! No. AJ, what's the plan for the film? What's going forward? What's the plan here?
Well, the next plan is we have a couple of really big meetings with some pretty well known festivals. I'm not gonna say them yet because I don't want to put the kibosh on the luck. Mm. But a couple of really big festivals, which is really nice. I have a couple of connections with some new apps on Apple TV, which are going to be playing some gay movies, so they're looking at it. So right now we are going to be going into the festival route and getting a PR person and a marketing person, which is amazing, which I've never even done before. But people are like, okay, how much money do you need to hire this person? People are just like really want this movie to get out there because it's important. Awesome. And hopefully, people, I don't think there was enough people in the audience who weren't actors who told me the film was good, so they don't need anything from me.
Well, interestingly enough, Mike Berlew was in the audience, and he revealed that he's a very good actor last week. Yeah. Apparently, he had a whole cast of imaginary animal friends when he was a kid.
Yeah. It's true.
There was a penguin. There was an octopus.
Woody Woodpecker.
So he basically lifted the Woody Woodpecker name.
Yeah.
And just had
he was the original, and then he needed friends. I needed friends with him to be cool. So that's when I made up like the octopus.
I love that cool for you is making up more imaginary friends.
Yeah. No. The more friends, the cooler you are. That's the rule. Whether they exist or not, that's a different, you know, that's a different conversation. I don't need to be around.
Well, you don't need to be abused. You don't need to.
No. I'm too popular to care.
Yeah. You're too cool.
I'm like Patrice.
You're too cool. Yeah, basically I'd be like, it's Patrice O'Neal and then you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know.
Well, it was debated. You know, some parts of New York put me above Patrice. It was close, you know.
Your comedy is very similar. It's recap. Your bus joke and his white child privilege joke are pretty much
neck and neck.
Because he wasn't speaking like for a whole community, and you're speaking for the whole community.
Yeah,
you know?
Flanders. Yeah. Flanders, New Jersey. That's where you get the people. You make it in Flanders, you get pick anywhere in the world.
Sorry, AJ. We're loose tonight. We're loose tonight. But
no, that's fair, guys. That's fair. I like it.
But that's great for the film. You just let us know what we can promote for the film. But we haven't had you on in like 3 months to talk about the transition.
Yeah, things are definitely happening. I'm sure you can hear my voice.
Your voice is squeaky.
It's very squeaky. It sounds like a lot of people on the phone ask me if I'm upset.
Well, actually, I was just going to introduce you as our guest in the podcast, Michael Cera.
Yeah. So what was it like on Arrested Development?
You know, that girl in Juno, she was definitely really pregnant. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cera.
It's very cracky. It's very, like, it sounds like I'm about to cry. It's so bizarre. And, like, body-wise, my room smells disgusting. Like,
welcome to manhood.
It is so freaking gross. Like, I leave my room not knowing it smells, and then I come back a couple minutes later, and I'm like, it's like walking into Staten Island.
Like, like BO or like ridiculous man farts.
I think it's just BO. I think it's just like it's just in my. It's like in the freaking cloth of my bed.
Oh, we stink. We stink.
I'm like, how does anyone have sex with me? This is disgusting. Like, it is just, it's crazy. It's like a 14-year-old boy. And then, like, other weird things, like, this is probably going to be TMI, but who cares?
No, there is no TMI in the verbal shenanigans. That's our motto.
Well, because I haven't had top surgery yet, I still have my breast.
Right.
But now they're starting to get hairy, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they're like,
I'm into
like
it.
There has to be a
fetish
for that.
It's like girl kids with hair on it. It's weird. It's fucking gross.
If you need money for your next film, I think you should go on the internet with those. You're bound to get a couple credit cards for that.
Yeah, you can definitely get a GoFundMe for a film for those.
I definitely agree, because these guys got to go. Yeah. They got to go.
The people who see AJ's hairy boobs go to my Hamilton show.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're really, you know how you pigeonhole an audience? Like, we are really suppressing the audience of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, like when you boost an ad and it's like, what is your audience? I'm going to be like, 30 to 40-year-old hairy boob lovers. You know?
Yeah. But when we get them, man, we'll never let them go.
But it'll be sad because, like, I'll want to be with other hairy boobs people, but it won't be trans men. It'll just be, like, a lot of Italian women.
Yeah, or just fat men.
Yeah.
Or just fat men.
So I had a
friend who was overweight.
That's a lie. You don't have friends. Stop it.
And well, he was a bigger guy, and he said to me one day, he was like, so do you ever just, like, look in the mirror and, like, look at your own boobs and, like, get turned on? And I was like, I don't know, fat boy. Do you ever look in the mirror and look at your own boobs and get turned on? How are you going to ask me that?
No, let me ask you. Do you, you didn't have the surgery yet. Do you have, obviously you want it to happen, but do you have any kind of fears or anxieties about that? Or?
I mean, for me, it's like, it's just, when am I going to get it done kind of thing. I'm not scared of the surgery at all. Luckily, I have a very big support group that will, it's only like 2 weeks that you're kind of, not even 2 weeks that you're immobile, but 2 weeks where you need a little bit of help. I am a big baby, though, so it'll probably be more like a month for me.
I think I meant more of like, you know, you have had your entire life. I almost said you grew up with these things. No. you had this your entire life, your entire adult life. Of course, it's what you wanted, but you do have any kind of like.
I think this might sound silly, but I use my boobs for things that like if I'm at a bar, I put my beer, like I rest my beer while I'm holding it, like on my boob.
Yeah, like hold your papers down.
Like I use them as like a shelf, and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna have like a drink holder anymore. It's gonna be upsetting.
When you steal stuff from the grocery store, you can just put them right under those things.
When you gotta light 3 Hanukkah candles, you need more than one hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, my gut is getting bigger, so I guess I could just use that.
God, you are so becoming a man.
Mm-hmm. It's gross. Yeah, the people I date would probably like a little bit better if I wasn't getting all the disgusting man stuff and some of the gentleman stuff. But
you're gonna be like, I want to transition into a man.
Yeah.
Not an old man.
I thought this transition came with abs. You know, I'm paying a lot for this. I figure it would come with it.
Yeah. No. Can you stop like scratching your ass and yelling at kids for being on your lawn? Like, yeah. I'm just becoming old.
You don't
want to
be that man. But
exactly.
But how are you feeling mentally? How are you feeling emotionally? Like,
honestly, like, I'm feeling great. Like, people are like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great. Like,
awesome.
I just, like, I feel stronger. Like, you know, it's like little things. Like, I used to be able to pick up, you know, about 70 pounds dead weight. Now I can easily pick up 90, which is like, you know, 20 more pounds. And I'm not, like, working out. So it's just, like, the testosterone. So I'm like, damn, like, it's.
I need some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, can I get a same-sex change?
Can I just get a same-sex? That's it.
Yeah.
I just want to be more of this gender. That'd be great.
Yeah, can you supersize this, doctor? Is that how it
works? I am all about HGH. You see these guys come back from crazy injuries in baseball back in the day, and they're all of a sudden they're throwing 95 miles an hour. Give me HGH on my Cheerios. I'm all about it. I want that fountain of youth shit.
100%. 100%. You know, so things aren't really, really going well with the transition. You know, I have to always say, like, the Callen Lord Center in Manhattan is pretty much an all LGBT, they pretty much cater to the LGBT community. And usually their doctors are just so equipped with the information that they need. You know, 90% of their clientele don't live in the binary, so they're dealing with trans issues all the time. So really, like, my doctors right now are just simply the best of the best.
Awesome.
You know, you're dealing with, you know, LGBT doctors in New York City, you know, downtown in the Village. I mean, like, it's the epitome of gaydom.
Gaydom.
But yeah, so everything's going really well. I'm really excited. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the 2017 healthcare stuff will still be okay, and I'll be able to get everything done without, you know, too much of a hiccup. But that'll be a to be determined situation. Now,
thanks for chiming in, Obi.
Yeah. Oh my God! It must be the UPS man.
What's happening over there?
You would think we're being attacked, but it's probably just someone walking by with a cute dog.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'll calm down. Burley, you
now as you're working through this transition and the success with the movies, are there any kind of concerns that, as you try to move forward to the next project, there's going to be issues with your transition, whether it be scheduling or feelings coming off of testosterone shots or anything like that?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, whenever I do that, I am nervous about it. I work freelance, so I am nervous about just having pretty much no income for like a month, you know, which is a little bit stressful. But luckily, these days I have been producing more as opposed to like actually holding the camera. So luckily with producing, I can kind of just sit around and tell people what to do.
More like producing boob hair.
Yeah, oh, snap. Boobs.
Burn. Sick. Burn.
You went there.
You're just going to be mad that I'll have more hair than you do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Somebody.
Scott will be crying.
I'm going to be a beast.
Yeah, he'll be staring at his chest, wondering why there ain't more red hair on there.
I mean, when it comes to my birthday roasting, I'm like, damn, I really wish there was a hairy boob guy here.
Yeah. AJ Mattioli, what are you doing here?
Yes. God, Brennan's killing tonight. Mm.
That's what you all want. I know it. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. You want hairy boob guys.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, get lonely.
Yeah. You don't want to be the only one. It's okay.
I crave Ukrainian women. What can I tell you?
Mm. That's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on with that, and you know the films are moving, which is nice. The next one I'm going to be doing is probably going to be the working title right now is The Muslims of New York, and we're gonna kind of It's a good Christian film, exactly. I want to see how many people can hate me by the end of 2017. So
it stars Jack Black.
I'm gonna have a fully Caucasian crew and do a Muslim film.
Nice.
I figured that's the best way to get the point across.
That movie's gonna be the bomb. Racially insensitive joke of the night.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. You know, all right, so you got new films coming out. You got your film that's doing well. The transition's going good, and your candidate got into office.
Yeah.
Congratulations! We know you're a big Trump guy, congratulations, AJ.
I feel like a winner.
I feel very proud of you. You know, like, you know, you got your guy. So. You know, tell us about how you're feeling about that.
Well, I mean, like, you know, if he's good enough for Kid Rock, he's good enough for me. I mean, is that not, you know, I mean, Shotzi likes him.
Good enough for Kid Rock. That's how I judge most of my thought process.
I'm like, if the people with no teeth like him, I'm going
to
vote.
You know, when I'm at work and I'm like, I should be mean to this woman, I'm like, it's good enough for Kid Rock.
Yeah.
You know, I better do it.
You know, it's just crazy. Like, I finally got out of, like, my complete depression. It was, like, a good 20 days. Waking up.
Oh,
like,
we saw. We saw.
Oh, my Facebook was just
Your Facebook?
Anybody want to come and kill me? Anybody?
Yeah. I thought our last episode was going to be the last one with you.
Yeah, well, I actually was on, I was talking to Marissa Smith the other day, the comedian Marissa Smith.
Yep.
And we were talking about how the internment camps for the gay people will actually be quite nice. Like
it would be like a club.
It'll be a club. The lesbians will build really sturdy houses. The gays will do the interior design. It's beautiful. Like it's actually
the problem. Here's like, how do you sleep through all the techno music?
True. It's true. When the internment camp is just an after-hour club, yeah, it's gonna. Yeah,
now, as you're getting older, do you ever wish the gay club? Like, do you go to the early bird specials at the gay club? Because I could not do the raves till like 2 a.m. anymore. I would do the raves till like 9:30. Gotta get home for the Walking Dead premiere, guys.
Guys, I want to grind to this, but I got a conference call in the morning. I really got to get out of here.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I'm just gonna go and dance at my house because I gotta go to sleep soon. So yeah, it's a little bit. I'm definitely the old person in the clubs these days. Like, you know, it's like, the girls were like, you know, 24, and I'm like, oh, that's cute.
That's
but
cute.
But it's expensive. Mm. Like, if you're 24, you want to go out every single night, that's expensive. Mm-hmm. So,
but seriously, tell us.
Like,
let's
like,
get back
in. 37. I need 37-year-old women. They like to watch, like, CSI.
Oh,
I need, like,
man.
A 37 to 40. Like, give me, like.
At this point in my life. Like, now that I'm divorced and, like, older, I just want someone to eat Triscuits with and have a beer. Like,
yeah.
I just want to watch the show at this point and go to bed.
100%.
I want to pet my dog. I want to pet my dog's belly and, like, have hummus.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, kind of my that's like my life goals.
Yeah.
No, like, I want a Netflix and chill, but really Netflix and chill. Like,
yeah,
I don't want that to
yeah,
be
right?
a coach or anything.
Yeah, like, I don't want the millennial chill part. I just want chill.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want to actually just chill. Mm. I want to get home, put my pajamas on, and you think that's sexy. That's the most I want to do work-wise.
Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, tell us about the perspective in the LGBT community with the Trump election.
Oh,
No, I know we obviously know, but tell us like your actual perspective, like what's going on, like your fears, and like. You know what? What you feel?
I mean, we are to say we're scared is an understatement.
Right.
You know, as you know, I'm sure everybody knows. Like, hate crimes since November 8th have been gone up 40%. You know, like I'm used to feeling like the gay community is used to feeling like New York City is their only safe space, and now that like. Swastikas are being thrown everywhere and the word fag is being written everywhere, like our 12 miles of safety no
right.
longer exist.
Okay.
And we will also like to have that taken away from us, to be outside of gay bars and have people throwing Bibles at us and have people yelling slurs at us like it's the fucking 1980s.
So
like,
you've seen it directly.
Oh, it's been... One of my friends got bashed with a bottle, and they broke his nose. I mean, we were just hanging outside of the gay club. Like,
listen, I wasn't trying to throw the ball at him.
Yeah.
Scott
was trying to show off. He was doing the water bottle challenge,
yeah.
and your friend's face got in the way.
I'm sorry.
Gay guy's face got in the way. And by fag, I meant cigarette.
And the swastika thing was just, I was trying
We were trying to play tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe, but
and
I didn't have
like,
enough
Scott,
spray
that doesn't
paint.
Look right.
I didn't have enough paint.
Yeah.
I have enough paint for the windows, you know, symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's we're scared. We've been, you know, the gay population has been protesting. A lot of people have been, a lot of people try to use the Orlando shooting as a reason to pin gay people against
Muslims.
And we're just not having that, you know. So things are a little bit, you know, it's scary. It's just flat out scary.
Now, do you, you know, obviously, I mean, the Trump presidency, I mean, come on. Everyone knows, like, no one really expected that to happen. It just kind of took a life of its own. Do you think that the gay LGBT community has a strong enough voice and that regardless of what he does, do you think they have a strong enough voice to, like, keep things progressive? Or do you really fear that... Like, do you really fear that he's going to, like, shut things down or halt all progress that's been made?
I mean, here's the thing. He's already – him individually has already backtracked on so many things that he said. 100%. He was going to get rid of
mm-hmm. –
you know, he was going to get rid of Obamacare. He's keeping parts of Obamacare. He was going to get rid of this. He's keeping – you know, he was going to get rid of gay marriage. Then he's not. But he doesn't scare me. He's a used car salesman. Trump –
Doesn't scare me
as much as the people.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's the people he awoke, the sectors he awoke that you thought were, you didn't even know. Like, oh, said, holy shit, my uncle's one of them, you know?
Yeah,
but, 100%. Like, what is happening? Like,
but
I mean,
I said as a comic, Donald Trump, I said this on our episode, I would never want to follow Donald Trump in a comedy club because he knows how to just get a crowd on his side. He'll say anything. Like, literally, he'll say anything and be like, yeah, you know, we're just going to do that. And then the crowd cheers. He'll just keep going with it. Like,
yeah.
I think I honestly think Donald Trump did not ever expect to get this far. Mm. And now
I don't think so either.
My only hope, listen, I didn't vote for either of them. So my only hope is that he will now listen to educated people and like maybe like hopefully like some educated populace and make decisions from there. Or worst case scenario, in some ways the best case scenario, keep kind of like some of the things that have been going well and leave them in place.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the hope. He brought out the people, let's say it like it is.
Yeah, he
brought the fact that people were saying the alt-right. I'm like, that's just neo-Nazis. Stop calling it the alternative right.
Yeah.
They're racist. Don't give them a fancy name. They're fucking racist.
Right.
I think that it brought out all those, and then the people that he's hiring.
Yeah, like, that's where I'm losing faith.
But I think Linda McMahon will do a lot in Congress.
Oh, Linda McMahon, come on.
You're fired. You're fired, yeah. I mean, he's a total lunatic. I mean, Trump definitely, he's an evil genius. The Hamilton thing was amazing. He was he had a lawsuit for the Trump University, and that day he was like, you know what, I'm gonna send my LGBT hater vice president to Hamilton. This way, no one is talking about my university fraud case.
Right.
He did it on the same. That's fucking genius. It's evil genius, but it's genius. his whole cabinet, those people are just.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, as an educator, his education pick was absolutely devastating. We won't get into that, but it's just that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
devastating.
I wish if it was. And not that, I am not a. I always like to say to people, like, a lot of people are like, well, if Hillary wouldn't have focused on the LGBT community so much, maybe she should have won. And stop thinking about specialty groups. I'm like, gay people and people of color are not specialty groups.
Right.
They are people. Yeah. We are not a subsector. We make up America. You hear that and it's like, okay, we're not a special interest group. Stop considering us that. It's so oppressive. The whole thing is so oppressive, women are scared, Pence and burying miscarried babies, like, he's out of his mind. There's just no rhyme or reason to their brains and like what kind of education they got. It's frightening. It's really, and I'm frightened for the kids. I really am scared for the kids.
Yeah, it's a lot of ad-libbing. As funny as it sounds, as much as he talked, there's so little clarity on exactly what he's going to do. That's the scary part. As much as he said everything, then he kept on turning back, and you start wondering if he's going to bring back on stuff. I mean, what's your thoughts? Are you more scared of the Republican regime or the supporters themselves who take their thought process way too far?
I mean, I'm definitely... I guess it's kind of a double answer there. I mean, for progress and for justice, I'm definitely more scared of the Republican regime. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm scared of his supporters because he incites anger and he incites violence and he okays that. They're trying to make, put a limit on how many picket signs people could hold now. Essentially, limiting freedom of speech and protesters. We're just going backwards. We're going backwards. So I'm very scared that, as a person, that I'm going to get physically assaulted. And then, as the Republican regime makes these laws and makes these rules, we are going to have to fight. The younger generation is going to have to fight double as hard to get where we've already been, which is ridiculous.
No, AJ. I am, like I have always said on this podcast, I am not anything, not even close to any political parties. I obviously hate what happened. I hate what happened. But I also, my whole core is hating politicians. Like, I hate I think of it as a career of lying. In order to get a room, like if I wanted you to vote for me, I would lie to the room or say whatever the room wants to hear, get the vote. And then it's from the room to the county, to the county, to the state. You know, it's just a career of lying. Now,
100%.
Now, you were very, 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 very pro-Hillary, right?
I voted for Bernie in the primary.
Okay.
But then I voted for Hillary, obviously.
No.
Because, you know, just because they didn't have milk at the store doesn't mean I'm going to drink battery acid.
No. I totally, honestly, in your perspective, I would completely understand. But
yeah, and I mean, like, you know, we're not, if I was you and I was a heterosexual cisgender white male and I didn't have much to lose with either candidate, I would totally take your stance because I think politicians are inherently liars as well. I completely agree with you. Yeah. But
I voted for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I wrote him in.
Oh, did you? Nice.
I wrote him in. Really, more importantly to me was voting on, like, there's some education things on New Jersey's ballot, and there's, like, a casino thing on New Jersey's ballot. That, to me, was more important than voting for either of those two idiots.
Yeah. And for me, it was, like, you know, exactly. Like, you know, voting for the other people, the other Democrats down the line was more important for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just when push comes to shove, you have the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and one of those two, sadly, is going to win.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it, you know. And
absolutely.
As much as I would love a third party because we're only one person more than a dictatorship, so instead of having one, we pick out a two.
Right.
But, you know, at the same point, when you do fit in a minority, you know, like I do, or right. a person of color does, even if you don't necessarily, even if you have the list of lies that Hillary has made, there's no comparison. No. It's literally like,
well, that kind of leads me to
voting for a shithead instead of voting for Hitler.
That leads me to the question I was going to ask you, like. For you, was it more of like voting for the lesser of two evils, like we hear all the time, which is like the very stereotypical thing to say? But in my opinion, the Democrats gave this election away.
Yeah.
They gave it away. They had a guy who was, I call him the left-wing Trump, because he ignited the working class. He ignited the African Americans and Hispanic and the gay.
If Bernie would have been the Democratic nominee, 100%, that he would have won. I mean, the Democrats would have won, 100%. It made me upset that when Bernie was sitting there saying, like, okay, guys, well, we have to vote for Hillary in order to make sure this guy doesn't win, that Bernie supporters weren't listening to that. And they were voting for people like, if you still voted for Bernie, then I'm like, okay. To then vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson because you're going to vote for Bernie is kind of.
I know. Like, I know. See, I don't agree. I don't agree 100% when people say, like, oh, you vote a Libertarian, you're throwing away your vote, because I think that can, or whatever, or Jill Stein. Because I think that can go either way, because you could say, oh, you're giving a vote for Hillary. Honestly, you could also be giving a vote for Trump or Hillary, because. Like, I didn't vote. Like, so maybe you can tell me I threw my vote away. I don't really feel like I did.
As we see from the fact that the popular vote went to Hillary and the electoral vote went to Trump, our votes, sadly, don't count as much as they should anyway.
Every election goes down to, like, four or five states, and it's not the states that we live in. It's pretty much 80% of the states are guaranteed to go one way or the other.
But if you look what Bernie did, if you looked at the contributions to his campaign, they were all the woodworkers and the metal workers and all these unions. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what Hillary ignored. She ignored, and you just saw Wisconsin was the perfect example. All those Obama like little, you know, more like. Blue-collar, like, workers, hand workers and stuff like that. She lost every single one of those places, and that was the turn of the election.
I mean, I think that this election wasn't because Trump was running, and only because Trump was running, do I think that this was not the election for third-party voters to vote third-party.
Yeah, I can understand
only
that.
Only because we had such an ass. He's such an asshole. Mm, like,
yes.
Bush, I didn't like Bush, but he was like a fucking, he was just dumb. He was just a fucking idiot. Like, you know, he's like a lovable little cokehead that I used to hang out with. Like, okay. He's just, you know, like, you know, he's just, he wasn't outwardly mean. He wasn't fighting violence. So, like, that election.
Well, Trump ran on a hate platform, basically.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Inciting hate, you know, basically.
Exactly. So, like, this for me was the election that you really shouldn't vote, in my opinion, third party, because it kind of the same thing that happened with Gore, and when Gore and Bush were running against each other the first time, Nader screwed up that election, and Gore would have been, I believe I'm getting my facts right with that. So, but I think that this election in particular was just, I mean, you have someone, despite Hillary's, you know, shortcomings, you have someone with 60 years of experience in politics.
That's true.
Or you have a guy that worked for the fucking Apprentice. Don't get me wrong, I'm a TV guy, but I'm not running for president of the United States. Like, I could run a good company, doesn't mean I know anything about foreign affairs.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I understand that completely. I just get frustrated. Like, I get frustrated when I see people on Facebook and Instagram, whatever it is, losing friends and family. And I know you, like, even said things.
Oh, I've lost a lot of friends and family.
No, but why let this decide? So what I was asking you before I deleted the file, why let this election why let the election make you lose family members, lose family, friends?
I think this election was different than other elections. Other elections, I would fight with people and debate with people saying, okay, so your money is more important than my rights, and your tax rebates are more important than my rights. And people would say, no. And I'd be like, okay, and I'd be mad at them. This election, we're talking about people, a person that is supported by the KKK. The KKK never supported Bush, never endorsed Bush. I might not have been a Bush fan, but when you're standing, when you're okay with racism, right, when you said, I'm okay with voting for someone that wants non-Christians to register,
right,
you have, I want nothing to do with you.
Gotcha.
I was born and raised in New York City. A lot of my friends are black. I have several Muslim friends. I have, you know, obviously 90% of my friends are LGBT.
All right, stop bragging about your friends. All right. You got a lot of friends.
I have a lot of friends, please. It's only because I cast movies. I wouldn't have any of these people. But
exactly. You got a part.
That's when whenever it's my birthday, I'm like, oh, I got a part, guys. And then all of a sudden my birthday party's lit.
Oh. You were what the kids call on fleek that night.
Mm. I am on fleek.
Yeah.
That's what my bae tells me. What the fuck is that word?
Yeah.
But I think that this election, you know, it wasn't about money. It wasn't about how they were going to deal with foreign affairs. It wasn't, for me, that's all things that we could disagree about. You want to talk about how we should deal with climate change, I can politely disagree with you on that. You want to talk about, you know, how we're going to deal with the economics with China, I can politely disagree with you on that. You want to talk about treating people like second-class citizens and banning religious garb from Muslims and, you know, and inciting violence and being okay with the KKK and being okay with neo-Nazis in your crowd, you know, these are things that aren't new. I mean, when McCain was, you know, was running, he was told by someone in the audience that Obama was Muslim, and McCain literally said, Obama's not Muslim, whereas Trump was pushing the birther movement. Now, I don't give a shit what religion the president is. Personally, I would prefer an atheist, because then we can deal with the reality, but and what's happening on Earth, as opposed to, you know, whatever, you know, Mr. Old spaghetti monster you're praying to. But, you know, for me, that said a lot. Like, we have this information. He has his birth certificate. You're literally voting for a guy who's just damaging people's world. He's just damaging, just, you know, slandering people for no reason.
So when we send this episode to our like our very devoted fan base in the KKK, what do we tag you with?
I would say I'm an anti-God trans man. a Satanist.
Really, you're going to have to work
Scott,
on this
somehow
one.
The numbers went up. I don't get that.
Probably. swear to God, probably. Our numbers would go through the roof if we did that.
I do what I can for you guys. I do what I can.
I do have a question for you, and it might be... I'll just ask you. So I have seen you post some things about white cisgendered males. That is like a term you have used. Now, I guess I could use the word offended. I'm not really offended. I'm not really offended by anything. But it almost seems like you may or may not have said like that is the root of a lot of evil, which I can agree with you to a point, but it's not. It can't be everyone. It can't be everyone because I'm talking to you.
Everyone.
I am talking to you as a white, whatever you want to call, straight male, and I am 100% in your corner here.
100 No, and I appreciate that. But when a group of people voted one way, when you see the audience of a Trump rally, there's maybe 10% women, and the rest are all cisgender white men.
Okay.
And as a group, they have spoken to what they want and how they, and considering.
But do you ever consider like demographics into that and stuff like that? Like where you're saying like a white cisgender male in Jersey and New York and New Hampshire and Vermont, where or a white cisgender male in
Nebraska.
Alabama, Nebraska, like that's
definitely
to think about.
Oh, and there's definitely freaking gay people that voted for Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, there's gay.
Which
there's
I
gay
do
for
have a
Trump.
I do have a question with you for that in a minute. But go ahead.
There's always going to be the exception to the rule, and yes, like then we get into, you know, what about people of color that blame white people, and what about me that blames white people? And of course, we have the exception to the rule. It's not the not all of us are bad. Not all white men are bad. 100%. But predominantly, when I'm walking down the block, I will get harassed more by white cisgender men than any other nationality, and any other race.
Okay.
It's just the way it is. So then you get into the whole reverse racism thing. Whereas, can there be oppression? Can there be racism? Can there be reverse racism without oppression?
Right.
You, as a white cisgender heterosexual man, get to walk down the block every day and have a similar experience to a white cisgender straight man in Alabama, in the sense of walking down the block, going to the store, buying milk, coming home. Nothing will happen in that arena, for the most part, you know. So you have that similar. You don't have the understanding, inherently the understanding, which is great because it'd be nice to not have oppression.
Right.
But you don't know what it's like to live constantly walking out of your house going, oh my God, do I look too gay? Do I look too butch? Am I,
no, I totally
walking
understand
too
that.
Sex? So it's more of a, hey, tell your fucking brothers to stop being assholes. So like whenever a white guy says to me, a white cisgender guy says, not all of us, I go, well then change the percentage that does.
Yeah. I mean,
go and tell your white counterparts when they tell a gay joke that even if it's funny, maybe 2016 is not the appropriate time for that gay joke. Things like that. Like I was asked by a white cisgender guy the other day if I wanted to be in a bra commercial. The reason for it was because it was an LGBTQ commercial and they wanted to include all body types.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might hear that and say, oh, okay, AJ, this guy said, if you still wear a bra, we would love to have you in it. And if he would have known that inherently that is an oppressive question to ask a trans man to wear a bra is inherently objectifying, is inherently a triggering thing. We don't wear bras, we wear binders. You know, so the fact that you guys are in an area where you don't even have to think, wow, how can this sound?
Right. I really like your answer, but no.
I mean, I hate generalizing, but right now, sadly, your portion of the world voted in a very anti-gay, anti-people of color way. And sadly, you are going to get generalized with that.
Okay.
It sucks, but it
sounds like a weird kind of like balance, because even like when we go back to the first interview, when we talked about how you got your first writing gig and the guy came up to you and just said, oh, we have to write for a gay role, you're in the gay community, you can figure it out, right? It just seems like a weird balance of coming to terms and also coming to figuring out the culture, if you will.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I took the opportunity to let this casting director know, like, hey, luckily you're dealing with me, I'm 35 years old, I'm a trans man, but I'm from New York, like, I'm very chill, like, I don't get offended or triggered easily. I was like, but you cannot write this same email to other trans men. You cannot. So I, like, literally rewrote it for him and was just like, don't use this term. This term is very bad. This is antiquated, you know. And I think a lot of it will change and help if cisgender people would start doing the research and start and understanding what non-binary means and what you know these different terminologies mean.
I have a question though. Like, do you think like saying, "Hey, cisgendered white males," is, if you're saying that, are you making a group in itself? Like, you're saying all these group males need to do this. Like, I mean, like, I think of myself personally. Like, no one's going to be like, of course, everyone's going to be like, well, I have this. But, like, I think of my, like, predominantly group of friends. It's like the UN. I have, like, the Asian guy, the Filipino guy, the Indian guy. Like, we have this group of friends tied from high school. And, like, I think what, I don't know. I find when you say, like, the cisgender white males, blah blah blah, do this. It's kind of like, well, I'm not even talking about me, but like I'm here. My other white friends are here.
No,
like,
I understand. When we speak about that, we're also talking about the people that are making the policies.
I understand,
like,
but
you know what I mean. Like,
but
I
think when you do that, you are doing what has been done to you.
I can see that point, but I also always say, like, I don't believe that racism can exist without oppression. So, like, I don't believe in anti-racism. You know, like, I don't believe in reverse racism where, you know, black people make white people, oh, don't generalize us. And I was like, yeah, I'm always like, you're not oppressed by it.
That's true.
You're never going to have your rights taken away because of it. You're never treated like a second class citizen. When you're walking down the street, if I called you a fucking cracker, would you really get offended?
No.
But if you call me a dyke, then it's
right.
You know, there's more weight that comes with it. There's more weight.
I mean,
that comes
I understand, but I'm just trying to like get more perspective into like that. But I also think like, you know, that open mind kind of thing, like the labeling and grouping is exactly what gets us into the places we are now.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, I definitely see your point. I just politely disagree on the fact
that's fine.
You know, it's just based for me.
AJ, I'll never have you on the podcast again. You disagree with me. We're no longer friends, and I'm blocking you.
Now, before you go, can we have some of your guests for our next podcast?
You know, out of all your guests, you're down to like three because you've blocked all of them.
We disagree, like, so we can no longer be friends.
I wanted to promote it, but I was blocked. Sorry, guys.
Another thing, AJ doesn't like Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh,
I found that.
You asshole.
Yeah.
Nah, but
how,
like,
dare
seriously,
you?
Seriously, though, if you didn't like Cool Ranch Doritos, I'm pretty sure I would block you, actually. That's a serious
I love Cool Ranch Doritos.
That's offensive right there.
That's my
jam. If you tell me you don't you don't want White Castle at 2 o'clock in the morning, I want nothing to do with you. Like,
that's how Hillary should have ran her campaign, and I'll just talk about Cool Ranch Doritos and White Castle. She honestly, would have got a landslide.
Honestly, she would have won the hipster vote. She would have won the black vote, the white vote.
And well, like they, every state she goes to, she just changes the brand to like In-N-Out Burger or something like that.
Yeah. Well, one of like my first
a shitty burger that party
That was like relatively like comical after Trump won was I was on 8th Avenue and the White Castle on 36th Street closed down and I just wrote White Castle closed down on 8th Avenue. Thanks, Trump.
That's got to be a, I mean, that's got to be a bitch like, with him living in New York and every time he leaves and all, it just shuts down all the tunnels.
Yeah, then how the fuck are we going to get to White Castle? It's his fault.
But, AJ, but, I know we were going to do a half hour, but I would, you know, I could sit here and bullshit for another 3 hours, but it's very good to keep the lines of communication open and the...
You know, my favorite cisgender white guys.
Woo! Thank you.
I'm only gonna, all I'm right. Gonna
words
to
cisgender white guys.
Listen, we actually just changed the name to cisgender shenanigans. Try to say that 10 times fast. Cisgender shenanigans. I can't even do it twice. Furlough, try it.
Cisgender shenanigans.
You can't even do it once. I can't. Oh.
What'd I screw up?
AJ, your turn.
Oh, gosh. Cisgender shenanigans. I feel like that's actually fantastic.
Can you imagine that name? Cisgender shenanigans.
I feel like a lot of people be like, I'm going to click on this because I'm curious. Yeah.
That's worse than like she sells seashells by the seashore. Cisgender shenanigans. Donald Trump. That's a good
Well, hashtag Donald Trump forever.
Well, I hope the mass of idiots doesn't ruin your appeal, your judgment of, you know, of all people, because I think that is a thing that you try to avoid. That's happened. Yeah. That's obviously happened to your community. This is how you are, and I even think your film Words is. Tying it all in. Look how I just tied that all in.
Look at that, Scott.
Yeah, I am like a journalist. Your word is breaking down those barriers. So, like, you know, like, I don't think... I don't know. I'm just trying to say, like, don't let the idiot fucking Trump guys fucking poison your well.
Totally. 100%. 100%. You guys are great. I do. I enjoy being on with you guys. So
we always love you here. Yeah.
All right, awesome, guys. I do have to go back to work.
Yeah, you're working.
Oh, you and your work. Just like the transgender community to go to work when we're trying to have fun.
I know.
They don't think of the cisgender white male.
Yeah, no one ever does.
No.
No one ever does.
No.
You know what?
Let's go buy Audis.
What are you, working in theater? What are you, building walls?
What was that? That was a joke about Donald Trump when he went to Hamilton. He was so offended he started building the fourth wall.
That's pretty good.
So stupid.
But anyway, right, guys, real quick, where do we go to check you out? Fans, where do they go to check you out? Hurry up.
Oh, we go to...
Plug it.
Pretty much, Words is at Words the Film on Twitter and at Words the Film on Instagram. You can see all my stuff there.
Absolutely. My favorite guest on the podcast.
Yep.
Always. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. All right.
All right. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Catch you, AJ.
Later, guys.
So we got a little controversial there.
Hey, I was ready to bring it. Mm-hmm. In all seriousness, like, I don't. I mean, it sucks when people say, hey, I'm the least racist. I really am. I don't like those guys.
I'm the least racist guy, but here's my thoughts on Mexicans.
Yeah. The Jews. I think when you say like, hey, white straight guys are the problem. Well, not all. It's the same thing. Like, not all gays.
It's the ideology.
Not all Jews. Not all blacks. Like, that's going. That's what happened to them. Reversing it. I don't know. But whatever.
So did we save? Did we take care of racism tonight, or do we have to do another episode?
Racism is over officially after this episode.
Good.
Thank God, right?
Man, we did a good job. All right. Now let's tackle cancer.
Yeah. Cancer's next week.
Mm-hmm. Not all cancer's the same, people. Don't generalize it. Don't group us together.
Yeah. I love you skin cancer people, but come on. Us breast cancers.
Really? Yeah, exactly. No. Don't get me started on the prostate, guys.
Let's get out of here, Bruno. Let's out of here. Anything to promote?
I'll just do my... actually, before I'll do my Facebook page, I'll talk about Randy Santel.
Randy Santel.
No.
Wait. Randy Santel. I heard he's a competitive something or other.
Promoter who does the ending of the shows.
Oh, no fun. Go ahead.
Randy Santel with foodchallenges.com. He, at the end of the year, he's doing his... new trip down to some of the Northwest states. He's going to be tackling some states like Montana, Wyoming, and so forth. He's going to be up to 45 states. Right now, if you go to his YouTube channel, again, youtube.com/Randy Santel, he has started his European tour. You can see some of his videos from the Czech Republic right now.
Oh, the Czech Republic. The only thing I'd like to promote is... Listen, December 29th.
November 29th.
Yeah. That was like that one podcast we did like ages ago, and you're like, I got a show coming up in November. It was like June.
I'll be performing with Randy Chantel.
Chantel, and we will be
doing... He did the Chantilly Lace song.
And Dimebag Dave is making an appearance.
Oh, yeah. He was murdered, but he's back.
December 29th, Tap House 15, the best comedy room in New Jersey. Tight, intimate, and free.
Exactly.
Johnny Watson headlining. Joe Comte, who's a headliner. Joanne Filon, who's a headliner. Joe Eichler, who's headline. Scott Brennan, who's...
Almost there.
Scott Brennan, who runs the show.
Yeah. there's like 10 steps to headliner. He's on step one.
Listen, and we are doing a benefit for Pet Rescue, which is another great thing. I always try to tie in a charity. And that's that. Please keep subscribing to the podcast. And most of all, leave a review. It helps us get populated. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram or...
If you're a proud cisgender white male,
we only talk to white males.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Rest of you, nah.
But tell Dimebag Dave that you love him. At VS
that
Comedy,
crazy son of a bitch with his quarters.
Contact Mike Berlow. Contact us, please. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the winning judge back. I love you.
I sort of like you.
Rest in peace, Dimebag Dave.